May God bless our reading and our hearing God's word today. So last week we started this series on the book of Job. And as I came to this week's lesson, I worked hard on this passage. And yet I cannot resist the temptation to defend God's actions to you. It may be a little bit of a vocational liability to want to defend God. And yet, it's the nature of the story that God will defend himself quite well before the story is over. And so today, rather than get tripped up over trying to defend God, I want to invite you to enter all of the tension of the story. And we're going to have a large children's sermon today where you get to participate. So get ready. You get to participate in reflecting on what you notice, what troubles you about this passage. And let's get that out together as we make our way through the book of Job. What is it that we find so troubling as the story begins? So, I want to invite you to keep that passage for you. And let's just list together, what do we find hard about this passage? What do we find hard? Raise your hand. I'm going to bring the microphone to you, and just like a child, you'll speak into it nice and clearly. Yeah, so choir, you have to shout to me so I don't ignore you. Okay. What do you find hard, Brad?
Satan still has access to God.
Say it a little louder.
I'm sorry. Satan still has access to God.
What is Satan doing in that gathering of heavenly beings? He still has access to God. That doesn't seem right? Okay.
Well, that God thinks Job is so righteous, but then he lets him go through these hardships.
God really is proud of Job. We learned that last week. But then why does God let these things happen to Job? It's a big question in the story.
There's suffering upon suffering upon suffering.
Waves of suffering. Yeah. Some of you were hoping that we wouldn't look at this book. You've told me that. What are we doing in the book of Job?
It's concerning that who knew God was a gambler?
Say a little bit more about that.
It feels like God's gambling on with Satan. And, of course, he could change the scenario and fix it so Job wouldn't do anything. But Satan knows God's good, so he's going to let him go through everything to experience it. Mm. To me, that seems like he's gambling. Situation.
Seems like God is gambling with Job's well-being, with Job's goodness, with Job's story.
I struggle with understanding how Job could say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord."
And so after losing all those things, Job is grieving. He tears his robe, he shaves his head, he falls flat on the ground, but he still blesses and worships the Lord. How does that happen? There's another hand over here.
I just want to, the rabbis consider this one of the most difficult books in the Bible because of suffering and, and in light of the Holocaust and the different things that happened to the Jewish people through the ages. They look at this even now and scratch their heads. And one of the things, you know, when it says Job is righteous, I mean, he's considered very righteous. When you look at the very beginning, he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. They add to 10. All the numbers are multiples of 10, which imply that he kept Torah so well. And yet he suffers, and that's the difficulty.
Because that doesn't seem right. If we're keeping God's will, if we're following God's word, the sense is that things should go well, right? And in fact, that's kind of what we learn in the beginning of the chapter, that God blessed him because he was upright and blameless. What else troubles you, or what do you notice in that passage? Anything from the choir?
I thought that God was fighting Satan and Job was a pawn.
So it feels like God is trying to show Satan to be wrong and Job is caught up in that as a pawn or a victim of that scenario.
Building on that theme, I think of the sons and daughters more as pawns even than Job. God strikes them down seemingly to, or Satan strikes them down seemingly to prove this engagement that he's having with God, prove Job wrong, and the sons and daughters die as a result of this conversation.
That's a hard part of the story. It's one thing to lose your possessions, and it's another to lose children and feel like this is a good God still in charge of everything that's happening here.
I think it's interesting that it shows that Satan says exactly what he's doing, going to and fro on the earth, walking up and down, and probably causing havoc. Mm-hmm.
So we see Satan's job description there. He's letting us know where he is and what he's up to, and he's wreaking havoc. Why do you think we have this book in the Bible? Would you have included it? It's a very inconvenient scripture, isn't it? It is. Yeah. Yeah. Not rhetorical. I'm glad you're going to tell us why it's in the Bible, Russ. Thank you.
Well, it was like this. I think it's there to help us understand that God is beyond our understanding. And even though we don't necessarily get a list of reasons from God, you know, God's fully God and acting like God, and we don't necessarily have to understand it.
Okay.
Is that worth the walk, John?
That was worth the walk. Thank you. Yeah. It's clear in the book of Job that God is good. Right in that beginning of this chapter, he loves Job, he blesses him, it's as if he's created a fence around his life. And Satan says, he's basically saying, you know, Job hasn't experienced real life because you are so good to him. And so it's clear that Job, the book of Job, presents God as good. And yet, in life, there are all these difficult things that happen too, even though we have a good God. And so this book, this story, asks that question for us in a really profound, kind of unshakable way. Why is that true? How does that happen? If God is good, then how can God let these things happen? And it's interesting that Job will never blame Satan for what's going on in the story. He always puts it at God's feet, that ultimately God had a role because God let this happen. And that's how we see life too, isn't it? That when bad things happen, we ask the same question, if God is a good God, how could that good God let these things happen? Which is probably one of the most difficult questions of life. And so we have a book in our Bible that is not afraid to ask that question. It's not afraid to actually leave that question lingering for 40 chapters, before it begins to answer that. And so we have to resist the temptation to come up with answers right now as we begin the book. But let the reality of that difficult question, if God is good, then why do bad things happen in our lives? Why does God allow that? We have to let that linger and let God answer it as we go through this book. Job's friends are going to give lots of answers to that. And I'm resisting being Job's friend today and giving answers to that, at least premature answers to that. So I invite you to journey with us. Not an easy book, not meant to be, because it's asking hard questions. And so the question is, do we have the courage to stick with it, to stay with the intensity of this question as the Spirit asks it and as God answers it over the course of this book? So thank you for not giving up. Thank you for not saying, I'll come back in November when we're done with Job. Thank you for letting the Spirit put such hard questions in such a bold way. Really, it's a lot of confidence in God to do that. A lot of confidence that God is going to be able to answer that for us. But right now, it just sits out there for us. And that's where it needs to be. We also learn as we follow Job that there are some dangers in how we can respond to this question. We're told that Job did not sin and he didn't accuse God of wrongdoing. So he kind of shows us how to hold this space, how not to get angry at God so as to blame God for evil, to put this wrongdoing in God's lap. And also, when difficult things happen in our lives, not to sin in reaction to that, not to sin in response to that. And whenever we've been injured or traumatized or experienced great loss, the great temptation is to sin in response, to do something either as a reaction to someone else or to do something as a comfort to ourselves that is somehow sinful, dulling the pain, and not God's best. So we'll look some more next week at how Job responds faithfully while he's waiting for the answers as well. Thanks for being the big kids today and for asking your hard questions together. Let's pray together. Lord, we do not like the tension that this story creates, but we're grateful that you are not shy, not afraid to ask these questions before us. We ask them in our darkest moments. We wonder where you are and have you forgotten us? Have you abandoned us? Have you taken away all your shelter and protection? And then in other seasons of life, we know that's not true. So grateful that you're willing to pick up those questions for us, and hopefully at a time when they're not already on our lips because of life circumstances. And you invite us to ask them of you and to hear your response. And so we gather alongside Job and we journey with him as he begins to wonder aloud and yet still trust you. Help us to do the same. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.